So it's fine. I'm set for this. It's good.
Next week,
Motzei Shabbos. This Motzei Shabbos, they are going. They're moving back the clock. So it's fine. We're either lagging behind Eretz Yisrael, or we're still ahead of Eretz Yisrael. However you want to describe the matzav. Okay, good. I think we're holding Perek Gimel. Yeah, Perek Chelek. So it's a long Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Keshechol Rabbi Elazar Nichnasu Dalet Zkeinu Levakar, Reb Tarfon, Reb Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar Azai, Reb Akiva. Nene Reb Tarfon Vama Toiva Tol Yisrael M'tipa Shalak Shomim, Ki Tipa Shalak Shom Barlam Hazav, Rebbe Barlam Hazal M'haba. So each and every one of them was giving him some sort of Divrei Chizuk of sorts. It's a little bit hard to understand the context, because at the end of the day it sounds more like a spadim, but at any rate each and every one of them was trying to give him chizuk about his matzah. Then it says the first one, Rabbi Tarfon, said that he's better than Tipas Kshamir. Nene Rabbi Yeshua Vama Toivata Yisrael Yosim Megal Gulchamash Gal Gulcham Balam Hazav Rebbe Balam Hazav Balam Haba. So that second one is Gal Gachama. Nen Reb Elazar Azari Vamotel Yisrael Yosef Mi Aveim She Aveim Bolam Hazav Rebbe Bolam Hazav Bolam Haba. So these three were Meshabeach him, and I guess in that sense they were trying to be Mechazik him. Nen Reb Akiva Vamah Chavirin Yisurin. Akiva said, I'm happy that you have Yisurin. Or Yisurin are good for you. Omnem Samchuni Veshnadiv Akiva Talmidei Sham Chavivin Yisurin. He said, prop me up, I really want to hear what Akiva has to say over here. Amalei told Akiva minayin lecha. Amalei told him, mikra nidur, it's a pasik. It says, ben 12 shana menashe b'molchoi, v'chamishim v'chamesh shana molch b'yushalayim, v'yasara b'nei Hashem. Uksiv gam eilu mishleshoyma she'etiku anjechizkiya molch Yehuda. So, Menashe was bad, Chizkiya was his grandfather, and Chizkiya himself taught. The raya is like the fact that Chizkiya Melech translated Mishlei obviously means that he made Torah available to Klal Yisrael. V'chi Chizkiya Melech Yehuda l'kol olam kula limei Torah l'm nashe b'noi loy limei Torah. Ela, mikol Torah she Torah boy, mikol omol she omol boy le'leo le'mutav el Yisrael. Of all the good, so of course Menashe tried very hard to teach him, Chizkiya tried very hard to teach him, and so on. It obviously didn't work. What did make Menashe do true? Well, Yisrael, shnei v'dabe shal Menashe v'el amoy v'le k'shivu, v'yove Hashem aleim esari atzov, v'goyimu k'shivu b'hatzer lo. When things got very difficult, him chilos cholos p'nei Hashem, v'yispalo v'yatele. That's the Chazal. So, Kedarko of the Maral, he's going to go through the whole Chazal, not only the point that he wants to address, but the whole Chazal, each part of it. Each one wants to be Moisif. Kirab Tarfin Oma Tevata Yisrael Mitipo Shal Kshamim. Shatipo Mechino Ha'oretz Shatoitzi Eitz Pri. Kach ata b'tor shem lama chiyach Yisrael ata mechinom sheyasu maisim toivim ashem nikru pri. V'zeo shenechshav lezeh tipa shel Kshamim Yisrael asha tipa mechin adam loitzi pri. So in this relationship of a Rebbe to a Talmud, there are different ways to look at it. The Talmud, at the end of the day, when a Rebbe is finished teaching his Talmud, what is it that we can say he got from his Rebbe? So minimally, we can say he was sort of a facilitator. If I teach you how to read and how to be medayik and how to summarize and say a svara, so basically I am giving you the preparation needed for whatever it is that you want to do. So I'm supplying you necessary prerequisites for you to learn. That's the first definition of a Rebbe. And Kshamim, you know, it's their understanding of Kshamim, or the way we normally see it, is Kshamim sort of set the ground for the planting of the tree. So the Kshamim are a necessary prerequisite for the trees to be there, and so on. So he said, so he compared him, Reb Sharp Tarfon compared him to Tipas Kshamim. So the second way of looking at it is, just like when a person is, when I need to see, I need to use a light, and the light is not just a prerequisite for seeing. The seeing is being done through the light. Therefore, a Rebbe, whatever it is a Rebbe taught me, becomes the lens through which I view whatever I'm learning. Let's stop a minute and compare that with the one before. Nafgamina is how much does it affect what I see now? The light that I use really has an effect at what I'm seeing. Lamosh, if I want to learn something, so I need a room as a prerequisite, and a chair and a table and so on. Fine, I have that. The light, so that's gone. Once I have it, I'm there. It doesn't really affect in any meaningful way how I'm learning or the process of learning, anything like that. The light that's shining down is the medium that I use while I'm learning, and therefore it has an effect on what I see, how crisp I see things, what color I see things, and so on. And that's why, let's say, for Maris, you need to have different lights, depends on the light, makes it a big difference, so certainly colors. So let's translate that into the world of learning. We think, okay, my Rebbe taught me vocabulary and skills and so on and so forth. So those are prerequisites. So for instance, a person who teaches me a language, person teaches me French. So once I've basically concluded my studies of French, I read French, and the person who taught me French stands only as the one who had given me the tools, but that's it. Once that hachan is gone, it's all gone. There's a second knage. Now, let's put down the following position. The way in which I can think of things is limited to the words and the concepts that I have. For instance, let's take something very simple. I recognize the color green as being different than red. But the different shades of green, if no one ever taught me the different shades and different nuances of the color, to me it's all green. Because I don't have the tool to call this moss green and this ivy green and this broccoli green and whatever it is. I'm limited to, I have one klutzy word and that's it. I have a hard time picking up on personality nuances. Part of learning, let's say psychology, with different descriptions is, we all have our opinions. You meet somebody and say, oh, this guy's too serious, this guy is too edgy, this person is too whatever. Fine, but my ability to describe and to have words that describe it allow me to categorize a certain way, and I see it through that perspective. So I could say this person is rude and aggressive. I could also say this person is uncertain and he's posturing, and that gives me a whole different tool. I have another term to describe it, which allows me to see it in a different light. The thing that you learn from a Rebbe gives you the sense of how you approach a sugya, a gemara, an idea, a problem, an issue, because you use those terms, those ideas, and those type of ideas to describe, to sort of frame them. And that becomes part of your seeing process. And that's, so the second one is a much deeper category, and that is, it actually becomes your perspective and colors it accordingly. Then he says, The Galgal Chama at the end of the day is a medium between the eye and whatever it is that's seen. Talmud Chacham is considered like an Aveim that amoiled the Ben. Let's talk about this also. Let's go back to our muscle of learning. So a person learns a blot Gemara, and he comes on a certain halacha, and he says, "This is very strange. Doesn't make sense. We must think of it this way. Think of it that way. We have to look for an answer. We have to think and understand, and so on." That evaluation, that this is strange, or this looks like this, or this appears like that, those are all based against a set of axioms that I have in me. In other words, when I come to science and I am analyzing things, I'm always analyzing them vis-a-vis certain axioms that I prepossess. So, Lamarshall, when somebody reads Alice in Wonderland or that type of, what strikes a person as being very, very cute, funny, however you want to describe it, is that it nothing makes, quote-unquote, sense, because it's almost as if no axioms of what we understand the world and human nature to be are obeyed. It's whacked out. Whacked out means that it nothing there fits into any of the boxes and holes I have. So there's one level. A profound novel has pieces that click into all the pieces that I know. They make a lot of sense within a certain context, and they're enlightening. They reveal more. And you read a book of absurdities, it's absurd because I have givens, and these givens are some of them may be inborn, and some of them are picked up by experience, and some are picked up because this is what I hear all the time, and so on. When an outside person who's not frum looks at a frum person, even people that we consider to be very light and modern Orthodox and whatever, modern, super modern, to people who are not frum and never saw it, they seem to be extremists. I hear this all the time from people who are sort of stuck in limbo between being considered very modern in the Orthodox community and very fanatic in the non-Orthodox community they came from. Like, they'll say, you know, we're the nutcases, we're the frum nutcases here, and we're the column over there, we're nowhere. And that's because in an environment that nothing existed, any level of Shmiras HaMitzvahs is weird. It's strange. Why does a person do these things that with such fanatical devotion? It's, you know, it's nice to occasionally do like a cultural thing, an old time thing, but this fanatical devotion fit never to touch the light switch and always to do this and that and so on and so forth. It's very, very strange. So, because he has nothing to measure up. A person grows up with that, and this is norm, and this is right, and so on. That's that. When you learn a sugya, there are a million kashas that you can ask, and there are svarim that are filled with them. There are all sorts of itzim parsha Talmud that are filled with it. There's a certain givens. This kasha is crucial to understanding sugya. This kasha is very important. This kasha is sharp, but you can live without it. And this kasha is, if you'll ever have retire and have a lot of time in your hands, go deal with this kasha. Those are all different. Those all different levels of kashas that a person can deal with, and it all depends on what is the given, the axioms that are inscribed on his in his brain. So the he says der aven aim der amolit means your most basic set of givens comes from your parents, both in terms of whatever it is that genetics inscribe in a person, and whatever it is that that rearing and you know, and growing up inscribes in a person. Both of them are inscribed by parents. So he said a Rebbe is somebody that gives you that. So when you look at something, you say to yourself, this sounds off, or this sounds good, or this sounds strange, or whatever, that is all measured against a very, very core, almost quasi-genetic, ruchnistic genetic material that's been given to you by your Rebbe. So that's what he says over here. Because he gave them their basic axioms, their sense of what can be, what can't be, and so on. Every one of these added one. Reptafen says it's only an introduction, and the muscle we gave to it would be like someone that gives you the tools to do something. Reb Yoshua Hosif Ki Ein Ruah Shechotzal Chochma Chanev Ulvad Aknech Shav Ashlom Shemashal Zodom. It's more than just a prerequisite and tools that were given. This is part of the process of assimilating information. Kamei Galgal Chamek Asher Ein Or Leyuchal Liroyis VeGalgal Cham Mashem Sar Oisa Pol Shuroya. So just like the sun is a necessary segment of my power of seeing. The Halada is this thing that I'm telling you. My etzem mohus is this. So my mind that says strange, exactly, or however I evaluate it, that all is given by his Rebbe. Yishleim agam kein keil gilcham diber gil madrega shal chachma shatamad chachim mashlim adam veheim chachma da subina kimoy shabiyarnu lemalim siva chachma ayin sham. Now, k'neged ha-chochma, ein tzarech adam rak ha-chona shel ma. For chochma, all you need is some ha-chona. V'alzeh Rav Tarfon, toivat ha-yishol mitipa shel k'shem, ha-tiv shem mechina es adam, v'kach ha-tanois na-chona l'odam, v'odam masik ma-atzer ke-ein ze ha-soga ha-muka. So he says, so the first level is the level of getting information, and therefore he says this first level that we're talking about is keneged chachma. Chachma Rashi is whatever you learn from someone else, which means basically input of information, and for that the person doesn't need all that much achana. To hear information from somebody, I need to simply sit, listen, understand what he says, and that's that. The next process is that the person fleshes out the chachma and so on. So many times when you ponder an inyan, it gives birth to a whole new inyan. When somebody teaches you something, so there's the information he gave you, there's the fleshing out of that which he taught you, and then there is the new things that become this gala to the person, that the person is able to understand and to know, because the givens produce that. So whatever it was that was already given to him has produced new information, has given birth to new, and he calls this bina. K'nezem Torah li'so me'ave eim hamolidin es haben. V'chein al yedei itamid chot shemalamid adam koin adam bina yisera. U'lekachom ha'tevata Yisrael me'ave eim. So there's three dagas of chachma. One is the acquisition of just knowledge. One is the understanding the fully that acquisition, and one is the new things that come out, the new understandings that come out by extrapolation, I guess. I don't know what else to call it, but I mean, he uses the word birth, but extrapolation and so on from whatever that is given, it's more or something else. Those were the things that they were telling him as their Rebbe to sort of be mechazik him. Rebbe Kiva mechavim yisurin kloima she yoyisim mikol madregos ha'elu eina nechshav mkneger yisurim. Yes, please. Let me make you a little bit louder, because I'm having a problem hearing you. No, it's the loudest it can be. So can you just speak a little louder?
Yeah. Isn't the order usually chachma, then bina, then das?
Correct.
So why is this?
I don't know. And also more than that, I don't know what he's referring to. In other words, he's saying it's getting chachma, das, bina. He's putting in das over here in a way which I, you know, it's not the usual. He says, so I would venture to guess as following, that I mean he obviously felt that bina was going to be keneged molded, because the word bina comes from, you know, ibone mimena. It's very clear that he was looking for that. I think the following. The order of Chochmah, Bina, and Das is an order of abstract to becoming part of the person himself. So Das is when whatever knowledge you have has become integrated in the person, and it becomes sort of the tzur of the person himself. So when I'm talking about a kaima of a person from top to bottom, that's what I'm talking about. I start with knowledge I've gathered in, I've absorbed, I flesh out that knowledge, and that's bina. I incorporate it and integrate it into myself and enact it and so on. That is the normal mahalach. I think over here he's talking more about in terms of the Rebbe's effect. So the chachma is obviously what the Rebbe does. He's teaching. So that the input of raw knowledge and data, that happens right away. So that's a given. In terms of if we're talking about the skills that one picks up from a Rebbe and so on, das could be a second one. In other words, I'm teaching people what's right, and I'm inspiring them to do what's right. But that they get the ability on their own to produce more Torah out of the Torah that I taught them, that in a sense, in terms of what the Rebbe is giving the Talmud, that's the biggest gift. It's sort of, I've now made him into someone that's producing Torah. So just like a child, at full maturity, a child can produce his own child. That's maturity. So here also, in terms of Rebbe Talmud, bina is the process of giving birth from a limited amount of knowledge to more. Das is the process of internalizing the understandings, hitching it to the wagon. It's when you're looking at the person as a whole, das is third. But when we're looking at the system as a whole, then bina would be the highest, because bina is that which allows you to sort of become a Rebbe. It says by Avraham Avinu, his two kloyos became like Rabbonim, and they taught him Torah. That's what it means. he was able mitoich hadvarim to understand to understand more and more.
Isn't the whole tachlis, right, of a rebbe? He gives birth to a new person who Kaviyachol wasn't there before, and now he really brought this person, he actualized this person, and therefore that's the sof madrega. This is why it says it lost.
No, but it's more than that. The madrega is that he brought about someone that can bring about his own children. It's just like when you have in the animal kingdom, you have certain animals that can mate and produce an offspring, but not a fertile offspring. A horse and a donkey can mate and produce a mule. A mule doesn't have children. So if the Rebbe can produce Talmidim who are Rebbeim, which means minimally in their own understanding they can produce new understandings, then they've done their job. So long as they haven't achieved that, they still haven't done their job really yet. The fullness of it. I once spoke at the yeshiva honored one of its talmidim, and a very very chasha person, he's a magician yeshiva. I said, we say in the pasuk urei banim levanecha shalma Yisrael. So the pasuk, so if we translate English, it's okay. You should live to see grandchildren. That's great. So why not say grandchildren? The Hebrew word for grandchild is nin or neched. Nechti linin nechti. So why doesn't it say urei nechadim ninim? And I think the answer is, it's not. The pasuk is giving us a bracha much more profound than that. We become eternal not when we have. Not when we see a grandchild, a great grandchild, even or whatever, because that's sort of finite. But when we have produced a child that can produce a child, so now we've locked in a sort of an infinity into our family. It's so urei banim levanecha is a very very. There's a lot of significance to that bracha, because in the koyach of hailada to the child is such that we would like our child to have a koyach hailada, and that's urevan vanecha. So it's not the grandchild per se; it's the child who can have children. A rebbe's job is not done. If he's taught a million Talmidim, but none of these Talmidim are capable of producing other Talmidim, they're all just Talmidim, but none of them are capable of becoming Rebbeim, then he basically hasn't accomplished anything, because it's sterile. It's not. He hasn't produced that which will produce. So the only chetimtza of Hamshacha is that type of, you know, producing something that is that will produce. It's one of the reasons why Bekoil Adam Miskane Chotzim B'no Talmido, that because the perception of the Talmud is that he's a Hemshech of the Rav, and therefore seeing him with some that's a Hemshech is the that's the tefillah I'll go upon him. Then he says, but all this, Rakiva Machavim is Sir Kloima. She Yusim Komadegus Elu, Enam Nashav Negre Surim, Shemi Markim, Umizakim Esanefesh, Umitarim Esanefesh, Achunasim Sulik Nagashmi, with those is called a Milus. So, of all the Milus, the thing that is, if we're talking about Chshivas, the person, Yisurim have a much bigger craft to be marrying a person. Kibala Yisurim nasa nidu machomri atranam haba. Zayisim akol, kama shesbay tzegim atanas nitno Yisrael, v'kul nitno al yideis, nitno al yideis Yisurim. So we're talking about here specifically the Maila of a Gavra, and the Talmidim were telling him, listen, you are, what's the right word for it, not the quintessential Rebbe, but you're the Rebbe par excellence, and look how much good you've done, and so on and so forth, and it's great and fantastic. The reply to that is that, but there's something missing still. Just excuse me, man, I need to make a call. אני בבית, לא בישיבה, כי עכשיו השיעור הם שכחו שהזיז את השעון, אז עוד 5 דקות בבית, עד 10 דקות. ביי. Okay. So he said the Yisurim is more than Madregas. And I shall assume Shame Markum Zakas and Nevstars and Nevsh Achunas and Sulkan Gachos, the Yisim call a Miles. Kibala Yisurim Nasa Nidu Mahomri, Achuben Olam Haba, the Zayusim Akol, as well as Gimatons of Yisrael. We call into the Yisurim. So I just want to, I mean, you know, so we spoke about that before, about the Yisurim part. I just want to add, these other milas of Holoda and Rav the Talmud also have in themselves elements of non-Olam Hazeh. In other words, all of these are any type of Hemshechius, any type of giving on further is something that's shaykh to the world of Tzura rather than Chaimah. The material and the physical is in the here and the now, disintegrates and it's gone and that's it. The all these other things are the things that have in themselves something that transcends a particular person, and that's why Hilada. So if I can transfer my teichen to someone else, that's already in the kuda of non-chaymer, and all of these in Yanim are, and therefore he said the Bechalzois Yisurim is a, more than all the ones. Ve'ilah Ma'ala Shazocha Yisrael Mashupol Bacherim Ava Yisurim La'odah Ma'ala Atzmis Kashamarkin HaNefesh Hashnaseh Kodesh HaLachoyit. So even though all the other ones express a certain dagger of Kedusha and transcending of the physical, but they don't come to this in that in, you know, over here. Okay, I have a minute or two for questions. Any questions? Any points? I'm not sure, because the only thing I can measure it against is the on the Sefer Gvuras Hashem, which I had a Ksav Yad that's quite different and appears to be his first version of it. He is extremely marich on a point. He can take the same point and go over it a bunch of times and different ways and go like much more than here, and then he make lines through it, and what we have printed is I mean, he's whittled it down. Believe it or not, people think that he's marich, but he's actually whittled it down. You see it. You'll see it in you know, in the Gevuras that I printed in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, that it has a constant in the same in the equivalent chapter as Ksav Yad. He'll go through it again and again, in different ways, or he'll just be more verbose about it. I assume that that's where he's coming from. It's funny. I always heard it from Shem Chassidish Rebbe that people think the Kotzke thinks that the people think the Maral is a Meirich is actually a Makatze. But when you take a look in I guess this first edition, I don't know what it is exactly, you do see that he's cut down actually. So I'm assuming, but you know, there are certain those are code words for Kabbalah type in Yanim. But in Lahar, I think he's just referring back to his either earlier version or whatever. Okay.
Sorry, can I just ask one question?
Yeah.
Sounds like when he comes to Yisurim, he's been speaking about how become a chacham and as a rebbe, he becomes the yisurim. He's saying that the mila is that it's klapei atzmo. So how does that fit with the idea of being a rebbe?
Because a person's nefesh, the comfort they were giving him is that he transcends whatever time and place he's at, and they told it to him by what he does klapei others. What Rabbi Akiva told him was internally, yisurim, when a person is a neshama himself, he transcends be'etzim, anything above, and that's what he was being menachemim with. Okay, good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos, thanks for the
call. Goodbye.
Thank you.